And ideas today, all of which are echoed in Shakespeare. We have deception and the power of images and extreme wickedness and the blind musician on an epic journey.
Music of the spheres.
In Music of the spheres. But Ben Crystal is a young actor whose book Shakespeare on Toast has been a surprise hit. You must catch echoes of Shakespeare plays everywhere you go, everywhere you wander.
Almost every day. I mean, you remember the old sort of Hamlet cigar advert, you know, to smoke or not to smoke and all these kind of things. Shakespeare's everywhere. Isn't he? I mean, he's literally he's on books and bookmarks and sides of buses and misquoted in nearly every headline.
Yeah. We should just sketch in your pedigree with words, of course, because your father is the great linguistic guru David Crystal, last seen slapping Jeremy Paxman around on
last
night on Newsnight. And I think your mother is a speech therapist. You were bound to grow up good with words, weren't you? You had no choice.
Tea time at my house was just a nightmare. but for two reasons, partly because the puns that would go on, you know, you'd say, you're barking up the wrong tree there, and then my mother would look thoughtful and say, oh, leave it alone, Ben, and then it would just escalate, and it was just murderous. But then the other half of it was I'd come back from hanging out with my friends, and I'd say, wow, Mum, that was a wicked lunch or a wicked dinner or whatever, and my father would peer with, you know, over these huge glasses, these owl-like eyes, and sort of, wicked, that's an interesting use of the word, Ben, and then I'd have to explain the etymology of why
and
I was using...
he'd want to know, because
absolutely, yeah. I was data, I wasn't a son. but it's given me, it's definitely given me an interest in words and a fascination with how the joy of using words that definitely sort of propelled me into the acting world, and then of course, I was overjoyed when I discovered Shakespeare. Not, I should say, Shakespeare in the classroom, but Shakespeare on the stage.
Yes, we should say Shakespeare on Toast is a nice jokey title, and what you're doing really in it, with lots of gleeful examples of how far he's got into the culture and how everything relates back to Shakespeare, you're challenging the fact that he got claimed as literature. With a capital L, school subject, PhD stuff, degree speciality, whereas the plays were actually written at quite high speed for actors.
Absolutely.
For living people. You're kind of trying to fight back against the literary Shakespeare.
Trying to reclaim him a bit, yeah. I mean, Shakespeare was writing for the masses. I mean, for the kings as well, but very definitely for the commoners. And I think in the last 150 years, he has been claimed by literature with a capital L, and you know, it's not that that's a terribly bad thing, but it does have bad consequences. You know, there's a generation of young people, and I considered myself very much a part of that, as I say, until I started acting Shakespeare. I hated Shakespeare when I was younger, and there is a growing problem with kids thinking Shakespeare's dull or boring or just too difficult to understand, and I think it's because we're used to growing up with these plays being texts to be read rather than plays to be performed and seen.
Well, your father's son, you do a sharp little linguistic analysis saying that actually Shakespeare words are not difficult, that the vast, huge 98% majority of them are ones we still use every day.
Yep. There's over 1,000 words that he brought into the language that we still use.
Lovely list here. Assassination, hot-blooded school days, useful, moonbeam, cruel to be kind. Words and phrases that we get from him and we don't know that we get from him.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the hardest thing that most people think about Shakespeare with this, the style of poetry that he wrote in this iambic pentameter, this de-dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum. The whole point of Shakespeare on Toast is to give people a toolkit from which they can break open this seemingly impenetrable guy, but also, a lot of people out there, I'm sure, love Shakespeare and don't have a problem with him. But what I've tried to do is take off their 21st century heads and put Shakespeare back into context of the Elizabethan time, by looking at what it was like to go to the theatre in Shakespeare's time.
Oh, it was quite riotous and sort of peanut
absolutely
throwing and generally chaotic.
Prostitutes.
It's a 20th century thing is making the theatre all quiet and dignified.
Oh, this
the audience. It's like art galleries,
etiquette.
Philip. You know, standing quietly in front of pictures is not what they were intended for.
So. I'm looking at the cover of Ben's book. I think Shakespeare's problem was that he didn't look like Shakespeare. I mean, I think he looks like a sort of rather dull civil servant. He doesn't look like the poet of the bars. And I think that's one of the problems, to tell you the truth.
Well, you think we need a groovier picture.
He's pretty funky there on the slice of bread and the...
I like the reference that you do some lovely deconstruction of lines and scenes. And that the business of iambic pentameter and how natural it is in English.
Yes.
Somebody was doing a whole set of examples. If you think about, you want to say something extreme or startling, you say, you know, Priscilla dyes her hair. I know she does. You know, you're not the man I married, that's for sure. You fall into iambic pentameter very easily in English, don't you?
Whenever I give workshops and rehearsing Shakespeare, I so rarely find I have to concentrate on the stresses because we're still speaking in the same rhythm. And the wonder of it all, the really exciting thing about that style of poetry is that Shakespeare found a way to direct his actors through it. And that once you know what you're looking for, reading Shakespeare or seeing Shakespeare or preparing yourself for Shakespeare, whatever, is a treasure hunt. It's you're sleuthing in some respects.
I wish we could go back to Joseph Fritzl because there is so much there. There's just this one line sort of sprang out at me. I am reckless what I do to spite the world. I mean, it's everything all there. But our time has sadly run out. That is it for this week. Thanks to Ben Crystal, to Philip Mould, Baluji Srivastav, who sets off with Song Celestial now, and to Stephanie Marsh. Back next week when among us will be Paddy Ashdown. Goodbye.